Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Stephen Philip Montero joins us. He's an ex-Secret Service agent, and he's written a book called The Gray Bird of Baghdad. The whole story coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Ring in the holidays with $350,000 Big Holiday Extravaganza at Carson Valley Inn. Over 1,000 winners. Weekly cash, free playing up to $10,000 in cash every Saturday. And two grand prize drawings. Win up to $20,000 in cash. Tis the season for winning big at the Carson Valley Inn.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome to the program Stephen Philip Montero. He is the author of The Gray Bird of Baghdad, which you can find on Amazon and everywhere where you could buy books. And just to give you a little a word or two about him, he's a law enforcement, security, forensics, intelligence and bioterrorism expert. He spent over 20 years as a special agent with the U.S. Secret Service and served in the U.S. Navy, where he was trained in cryptology. He was a senior advisor to the Director of Weapons of Mass Destruction Intelligence for the DHS and received the Director of National Intelligence Meritorious Unit Citation for his work on Iraqi scientists, and he's appeared on The Forensic Files, National Geographic Channel, America's Book of Secrets on the History Channel, as well as local newscasts, including now Nevada Newsmakers. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Sam. Appreciate it.
All right. So the first question I have to ask you with your background is, how do you sleep at night?
That's a good question. There were many sleepless nights when I spent my time in the Secret Service, so that's for sure. And I think there are other agents that did that job as well can attest to that. So a lot of sleepless nights, but now it's not so bad. So I'm good right now.
All right. Well, let's go through some of these things. Now you worked, tell us about your time in the White House.
I was assigned to the White House after I was a Secret Service agent for about 8 years. I was assigned to the White House from the Intelligence Division. So I was there for several years. President Clinton was in office at the time. So it was an incredible experience for me. A lot of travel, a lot of interesting things. The White House was a very busy place. And so it was quite adventurous, to say the least.
Okay, so what kind of issues were you dealing with from the intelligence point of view?
Well, when I was in the intelligence division, the President of the United States receives threats constantly. That just never stops. And so it's our job to investigate those thoroughly. And some of these investigations take us around the world. And I've participated in many of those investigations and making sure that we're aware of all of them. We uncover any plots or any individuals that are behind these things and determine whether or not these are real threats. So it's a pretty busy place because that's constant. It never stops.
Okay, so tell us some stories here. Tell us what countries you went to. I mean, did you go to North Korea? Did you go to Iraq? Were you in Saudi Arabia? What kind of places did you go to? And I realize there are national security implications, so you can't tell us everything. But tell us some stories here.
Sure. So we traveled everywhere. I've been through the Middle East. I've been through North Africa, South America, Central America. So I tallied it, Sam, one time. I just sat down and decided to kind of, tally this, the amount of countries I've been to, and it came up to 60. So it was quite a lot of traveling. And many of these things were in advance of the president. We would go out and do advances before the president visited a particular country. And so you'd be there for maybe 2 weeks before the president arrived, getting all the security measures in place. And other investigations involved criminal work. Many people don't realize, but the Secret Service is a criminal investigative organization. We were first formed in 1865, which is kind of ironic. Because we had nothing to do with protecting the president back then. And it was the last official act that President Lincoln signed into law before he was assassinated was the creation of the Secret Service. And it was done to stop the rampant counterfeiting that was occurring at that time. It was estimated that one third of all the money in circulation was counterfeit. So we were created to fight that. So our origins are conducting criminal investigations. And over the years, we participated in many of the country's important criminal cases like the Teapot Dome scandal and others. And then eventually protection became part of our responsibilities.
And with the Secret Service still, money laundering in casinos is one of the concerns.
Sure. Counterfeit money being used in casinos was an issue. So we would be involved in, looking, investigating those types of offenses. But now our breadth is even wider. We do cyber crimes, all types of financial investigations. And basically, the Secret Service is in play to protect the nation's payment system. And that involves just many types of criminal investigations, bank forgeries and frauds, again, in cyber crime and so forth, which is big these days.
All right, so we'll come back to that, but I want to pin you down here on some of your travels around the world. So, for example, did you spend time in Saudi Arabia, for example?
I did. I visited Saudi Arabia twice. Once was in advance of the first Gulf War when President Bush went to see the Saudis to get their cooperation and in with the upcoming Gulf War. So I was sent in advance of that work, and I was doing intelligence work at that time. So and that involved meeting with the Saudi intelligence services, with their military, with their police and so forth, to gather any types of intelligence information that might affect that particular visit.
Okay, and what were your thoughts on meeting with them? Did they act in the same way that U.S. intelligence acts? Were they different? Were they easy to communicate with? Were they secretive? What kind of sense did you get from them? And of course, we're talking about the first President Bush, correct?
That's correct. Well, they were cooperative. Obviously, they didn't want anything to happen on their soil with the president. So to that extent, they were cooperative. But whether or not they actually give up all their information and let things be known to us is always questionable. But we have our own methods to determine those types of things. But they were cooperative. But, you're always going to be mindful that they may not tell you everything. And we're aware of that going in. But by and large, it was a good visit. There were no issues. Just sitting, talking with, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, who's in charge of all the intelligence matters, it's a big job because obviously that region of the world is very problematic.
To say the least. Back then, were there behind the scenes conversations, for example, with Israel that we were not aware of publicly? Because Iran, even back then, was still of concern. We were supporting Iraq in those days.
Oh, absolutely. There's obviously contentions to this day in the Middle East as the Iranians trying to, control the region, and they are going against the Saudis who are doing the same. The Saudis And the Iranians are fighting it out right now for control in the region. You can see that right now where the Iranian influence in Iraq has been growing, and it's problematic there now.
And going back to my point about Israel, back in those days, did you have the sense that Saudi Arabia was having backdoor conversations with Israel at that point, or was that too early?
Well, I'm sure there's always backdoor conversations going on between the countries. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But it is, it's just a contentious area, and we're constantly, dealing with intelligence matters coming out of those regions. We're concerned about different groups and so forth that are of concern to us, meaning in the Secret Service, that we might be aware of terrorist organizations. So we're constantly monitoring what's happening in those regions.
Let's talk about your experiences in cybersecurity. It's so crazy. We have a power outage here for an hour and a half, and everybody's in a panic about whether their phone's going to get charged up in time or whether they can run their laptop. And yet, the problems potentially with cybercrime, especially now that we have the whole Ukraine situation with Russia, the abilities of Russia, China, North Korea, God knows who else, to be able to interfere with our critical infrastructure. What are your thoughts on that? And that goes back to my how well do you sleep at night question.
Oh, sure. It's interesting because when I was in the Secret Service near the time that I had left, biological terrorism was at the top of the list for things that us to be concerned about. It was our number one priority for a period of time. That has been supplanted by cyber now because of our use of technology. Cyber is just a huge ongoing crime. So the Secret Service has taken a premier role in dealing with that. And it's global. It's a global phenomenon. And, the important thing is to partner with countries around the world, to put a stop to this. And of course, technology is always advancing, and to defend against it, we're always kind of catching up. It just kind of outpaces us. So it's an ongoing issue to fight this global issue, which is transcontinental crime, cybercrime.
I'm always hopeful that no matter how bad the bad guys are out there, that our guys are badder than they are. And you referred to that just moments ago as we're playing catch up. Are we not in advance in terms of cybersecurity, that if they were to do something to us, that we could do something equal or worse to them?
Well, certainly, we have tremendous capabilities in that arena. But playing defense is always an issue. If you think about it, I think it's estimated that about 2/3 of our critical infrastructure are in the hands of private industries, not the government. So trying to get all of that coordinated where we have a consistent protections in all these various systems across the board has been challenging. And people working in that arena, I think, will certainly attest to that. So, it's just so many computer systems, even across our own government, it's hard to get uniformity. Many agencies can't talk to each other, and there's issues within our own government. So multiply that times 50 when you're dealing with the private industry as well.
So when you look at a situation, we have a proxy war going on in Ukraine. But the reality is that the United States is supplying the majority of the weaponry that's being used against Russia. The Russians are very well aware of this. They have lots of proxies as well. I had discussions with the head of NV Energy, the power company for Nevada, a few months ago. And in our discussion, I asked him, if there was to be a cyber attack on Nevada's power grid, what would be their backup? And, they have old generators that they could crank up again, but might take weeks to come online. When you look at the potential for cybercrime to occur against this country, it's horrifying to think what the results could be.
Oh, no doubt about it. And we've experienced some of our organizations, government agencies that have been infiltrated electronically. There's been many breaches of systems in which personal information have been divulged. So you've got a multitude of criminal organizations constantly attacking and find and looking for vulnerabilities within our system, and certainly they'll try to exploit them. So when you're sitting back trying to play defense against this multitude of attacks coming in on a daily basis, it is definitely challenging. And of course, there's been a lot of discussions about our grid system in the United States, how it needs to be updated, and we need to provide better protection on it. So that's an ongoing thing, but it's not an easy thing to do because it just is so large, and it just takes a lot of effort and coordination. And then sometimes you have to have shutdown times in order to advance your technology. So there's just a whole myriad of issues that come with trying to upgrade our critical infrastructure.
But it is rather necessary to say the least. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with the author of The Grey Bird of Baghdad, an ex-Secret Service agent's desperate mission to save an Iraqi scientist, Stephen Philip Montero. We'll be right back.
It's a good time to win during the big deal $150,000 guaranteed giveaways at Tamarack Casino. $15,000 in cash and free play giveaways each week. And $50,000 in grand prize giveaways with two top prizes of $15,000 cash. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
With Nevada's only transplant center and verified burn center, the science is here. With award-winning cardiologists and the state's only dedicated heart failure clinic, the talent is here. With Nevada's most advanced robotic surgery, the technology is here. And with the Silver State's only designated pediatric trauma center, hope is here. All because we are here. UMC.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Mendham with Joey Whitaker, and you've got a lot of convention space and meeting breakout space for people. Tell us about what's available.
Well, we can handle a group up to about 250, and anywhere as small as 10 or 15. So it really depends on what you're looking for, what the customer's looking for. We're open to anything. It's a beautiful drive, and if you live in South Reno, it's probably about 30, 35 minutes, so it's real easy to get to. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Stephen Philip Montero. He's the author of The Grey Bird of Baghdad. We'll talk about that in a moment. One of the other areas of expertise is bioterrorism. Tell us exactly what that is and how you were involved in it and how much it scares you, because it scares me.
It's a scary topic. And thank you for bringing it up, because it's extremely important. So bioterrorism is basically the use of any natural organic disease in which it's then turned into a weapon and then made so that it can be easily distributed. So it can involve things like anthrax or any of the hemorrhagic fevers or tularemia or any natural occurring disease that you can then weaponize. And put it in a form where it's easily dispersible. That's bioterrorism. And of course, we've had attacks here in the United States. There've been attacks in other places around the world as well. And of course, when you're dealing with a bioterrorism attack in which the disease is contagious, you can certainly see the ramifications, which we just experienced with COVID-19, which gives you a little bit of insight into how scary it can be when you have these diseases that are contagious. And, you know, with COVID-19, I don't think there's a country in the world that's not been affected by it. Millions of people have died. And I couldn't even think, Sam, to calculate the economic cost in that. So it is quite important for us.
Do you believe that that COVID, which some people believe was a bioterrorism attack, or do you think that this was just a natural disease that spread across the country and around the world?
I don't think it was deliberate, Sam. I think it came from the Wuhan lab. As a criminal investigator, if I was looking at a disease that suddenly occurred in Wuhan, China, that we hadn't seen before, the first place, and then I find out that there is a lab that deals in these types of things right in Wuhan, it wouldn't take me much to figure out that's the first place I need to look. So I believe it was an accidental release. Whether we'll ever get proof of that, probably not, because I don't think the Chinese are going to be divulging any information. I don't think it was deliberate. I think it might have been an accidental release from the lab. And of course, once it gets into society with our mobility, we've got a pandemic on our hands.
Okay, so you believe that it was an accidental release rather than coming from a wet market in China?
I believe that. You know, initially, that was sort of the consensus that it came from the wet market. But as time went on and some of these experts started weighing in, now we're looking at information that particular virus was genetically modified. So I don't believe it came from a wet lab. I believe it came from the Wuhan lab.
All right, let's take another break. We'll come back with the author of The Gray Bird of Baghdad, Stephen Philip Montero, after this timeout.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7@7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7@7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Stephen Philip Montero. He's an ex-Secret Service agent and the author of The Gray Bird of Baghdad. Your book is available everywhere where books are sold these days. Give us a brief overview of what the story is.
Yeah, the story basically is of my search for a missing Iraqi bioweapon scientist who had information to help us protect against another biological attack in the United States. So on January 12th of 2006, my team and I set out to find this missing Iraqi scientist. 2.5 years later, we were successful. So The Gray Bird of Baghdad tells the story of those 2.5 years.
Okay, and tell us a little of the intrigue that went along with this.
Well, obviously, there was a war going on in Iraq at the time, so that made it a little bit more challenging to find this missing scientist. And also at the time, Sam, there was a concerted effort by the insurgents and the jihadis to kidnap or kill all of the scientists within Iraq. And the reason that they wanted to do that was they didn't want the new Iraqi government to be successful. They thought it was going to be a puppet of the U.S., so they wanted it to fail. So one way they thought at least they could make that happen was to wipe out the brain power of that particular country. So they literally assassinated hundreds of these scientists. And that's what caused our guy to sort of go underground and move from place to place and adopt a disguise while we were trying to find him. So just added another measure, I guess, of intrigue or or whatever you want to call it to the particular case. But that's what took place at that time. And then also, we were having our own challenges here within our own bureaucracy, because there was components within our own government that didn't want us to succeed in finding that particular scientist. So we sort of had two battles to fight, finding him in the midst of a war where he was hiding out and didn't want to be found, and then fighting our own bureaucrats to allow us to go carry out the mission.
Can you give us a 15-second reason of why they didn't? The U.S. government didn't want you to find him?
Yeah, I have my thoughts on it. When we invaded Iraq, the reason that we invaded was to because they had weapons of mass destruction, and that was our concern. But when we got in there, we realized that there weren't any weapons of mass destruction. That became a major embarrassment to the president, and we had soldiers coming back had been killed, and the press was just kind of going crazy about this whole thing as a war that didn't need to happen. So after a while, that sort of calmed down. And the last thing that they wanted was to bring up this weapons of mass destruction issue again and have our group have unfettered access to this WMD scientist. And they were afraid of what he might tell us. So there were certain components that just didn't want us to deal with this at all.
The book is The Gray Bird of Baghdad. The author is Stephen Philip Montero. It's a great read. I thank you for taking the time to do this, and lots of luck with the book, my friend.
Thank you very much, Sam.
And we'll be right back.
I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Mendham with Joey Whitaker. Entertainment here at the Carson Valley Inn is extraordinary.
Yeah, super proud of the TJ's Corral, our outdoor venue, about 1,500 seats. We've had first-class entertainment out there. We've had Merle Haggard, we've had Chris Young, we've had Lee Brice a couple times, we've had Pat Benatar, Joan Jett, who's in the Hall of Fame. We're real proud out there, and it's just a great time. Watch CarsonValleyInn.com. And grab those tickets early. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Win during the big deal $150,000 guaranteed giveaways at Tamarack Casino.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. See you on the next show.